kebabbels open. Please be seated. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you for that special. I appreciate the ladies singing. I appreciate the orchestra. Love you too, son. I was in Jesus' division. Stay with me here. If you have your Bibles, let's look to John chapter 5. Thank you, Brother Mitchell, for this opportunity. What a place to be. And I just, as I thought of the song just sung, we're going to praise Jesus one day. 5 years ago yesterday, my mom went home to be with Jesus. And as I sat there and I held her hand as she breathed her last earthly breath, thought many a time the last 5 years, I don't think she's probably watching me preach. She's with Jesus. So she has a choice of being with Jesus and me. She may for a little bit say, all right, I've heard this before. I know him, but man, just a little envious this morning because one day we're going to praise him face to face. When it's time for chapel, I encourage every young person, get your songbook out and praise him. When you're in a class or when you're at church, praise the Lord. I really believe that if we decide not to praise him, the rocks could cry out. God could allow that to happen. But I don't want that to happen around me. I want to praise the Lord. God has been so good to us. We have so much to praise the Lord for. I do appreciate all the work. I have no idea. They must have got that dress on sale because they all wore the same outfit. So I don't know where the deal is. So several ladies are probably wondering where it's at so they can get the same dress. I know how that is. When you're in a tour group or you're in a group and you're like, why did you wear the dress today? You know, that's wonderful. I guess because y'all were singing. So thank you, ladies, for your work and effort. And thank you for that. Thank you, orchestra, for all your dedication, years of dedication to play an instrument. And thanks, I don't know who was playing the piano today. Who played the piano today? And Ashley made it all about Ashley. No, she was representing Canada today, so thanks for your help there, Ashley. I appreciate that. John chapter 5. It's okay. It's a country that needs the gospel. Let's continue here, okay? Stay with me here. You're welcome. Hi. Tell your dad I said hi. And stay with me here. Yeah, he just turned me off. All right. John chapter 5 this morning. Pastor has often made the statement, the only worse thing than being lost is being lost and no one trying to find you. Man, as I've traveled, this has been the busiest fall I can ever remember since I've left the mission field 17 years ago. The last 5 weekends I've been out of town, from Turkey to Egypt to New York City to about an hour away, and then to Ohio, and then I've got a couple more meetings, and then I'm done for the fall. And as I've traveled and as I go around the world, man, I'm very thankful that people have invested in me. I think often we look at this passage here, and I know there's been many messages preached from this passage, but I'm going to jump right into it this morning. John 5, look at verse number 1. It says, after this, there was a feast. How many of you like feasts? Come on now. Okay. Just got your, some of you just like, did he say there's food? Yeah, there's food in the Bible right here, okay. Feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I think it's a very interesting question. If we went to church on Sunday and we saw someone deaf and we knew the signs and asked them, would you like to hear? I think that would be a rhetorical question in the sense of, I think
we already know the answer to it, but Jesus wanted to know the answer because he wanted to know whether the man wanted to be made whole. Sometimes, stay with me here, sometimes we have an ailment or something in our life and we don't want to be made whole because sometimes that's a crutch that we might lean upon. Everybody still with me this morning? In this case, Jesus asks a very sincere question and says, "Will thou be made whole?" The unique thing is the man didn't say yes or no here. He gave a unique answer. It says, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." If you're used to underlining your Bible, you maybe already have the phrase underlined, but I'd like for you to underline that phrase, "Sir, I have no man." No, this is not a dating message, ladies, okay? Sorry about that. But maybe they would have a man if you guys would ask them out. But let me continue here. Back to the message. Shots fired. Back to the message. "When the water is troubled to put me into the pool," listen carefully. Listen. "But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me, and Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." You can continue to read the story there. But I'd like to preach a simple message this morning called, "I Have No Man." I have no man. This is a wonderful place here at Hiles Anderson College, but I believe there are some of you that have either been provoked at some point in your life to do something in regards to not just what you want to do, but whether it's pastoring a church, whether it's being a youth pastor, whether it's being a Christian school teacher. Maybe some of you, you've been holding out and God has called you to go to the uttermost part of the earth and you've said, "Not now." My son was in Texas 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, and he came back. I don't know if it's bigger and better. I'd say North Carolina is, but that's another lesson. But he went to Texas, met with a 21-year-old. He had several friends that went with him, and the following week, that 21-year-old was in eternity. And I thought about that, and my first question for my son was, "Did you get a chance to talk with him about the gospel?" He said, "No, I didn't, Dad." And I wonder, as a 21-year-old who thought he had his entire life ahead of him, but now he's in eternity. You know, atheists may not believe in God in this life, but a second after death, they will believe in God. Very serious message. I'm for having a good time, but I want us to think very soberly, very seriously. If you have your phone out or anything out, I'm going to ask you to put it away. I'm going to ask you to draw a circle around yourself this morning. I'm going to pray. I'll jump right into the message. Father, I need you this morning. Oh, God, you've asked us to pray for laborers. Man, this world is needy for laborers. Lord, I pray that we'd give our small plans and our small dreams to you. You say in your word, the steps of a good man are ordered by you, Father. I'd ask that you'd use me today. Use my voice, use my mouth today as I preach, speak through me. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Help me to say only what I should say. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look at the passage this morning, we see a feast here. We see by the sheep market, we see a pool. Of course, Jesus went here and we see Jesus in the story. It's always a good day when Jesus is in the story. Make sure he's in your story as well, okay? In this area, there was a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, and they were all waiting for one thing. They were waiting for the moving of the water. One season a year, there would be the moving of the water, and whoever went in first was healed. And there was a man here. We don't know how long the man was here. We know that the man had an infirmity for 38 years, but we don't know if he was there for the entire time or if he had been there for several years. All we do know is that he was waiting for the moving of the water. And by the way, just as a side note, wouldn't it be good for you and me spiritually to have a little bit of a moving of the water? Stay with me here. I just left Countries Without Christ class before this, and a question was asked in one of the countries that was given. They were asking about France, and they said, "When was the last revival in France?" I wonder, as I thought of it, and I've been to Paris. I took my daughter on a daddy-daughter date. Come on now. Yeah, this is a little bit more than the average date. Stay with me here. Well, we went when she was right before she was 16 years old. We took a trip there, and all I had was about 50 tracks in French. And you know what? Out of the 50 tracks, I only got rejected one time out of 50 people.
And I know it's a tourist area, and that's kind of how we downplay the world. Oh, that's a tourist area. Oh, that's a capital city. Like, they don't need the gospel there, right? But I wonder if maybe in this chapel service that I know pastor prays for this chapel service, I know that we as staff and faculty pray for this chapel service, I know that students, you pray for God's movement. Wouldn't it be great if God moved in our midst this morning? Wouldn't it be great if we had a little bit of a stirring of what we wanted to do and what we planned to do and what we were hoping to do, but we gave it to the Lord and said, God, more than I want to do this, I want to do what you want me to do. Wouldn't that be a great step? And many of you are there, and some of you maybe by the end of the chapel service, you'll be there. But I look at the Bible and look at several men that God used. I'll read them for you very quickly and I'll continue with the message. But I think about Noah, who was a just man and walked with God, and I think about Abram, who was willing to leave his own country. How would you like to be a missionary and not know where you're going? I mean, not that you're praying about it and you're still at your home, but you leave and say, God, okay, where would you like for me to go next? That's not normally the best way to do it, okay? Unless God tells you to do it that way. It's probably not good to leave sell your home, sell your vehicles and say, okay, God, I'm ready to go. Now where? I think there ought to be a little bit of planning and a little bit of preparation. I think you ought to take some missions classes. I think you ought to search the scriptures. I think you ought to choose a mission agency. I think you ought to have some help, choose a sending church. But Abram was willing to leave his own country. The Bible says in Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Isaac, a man who is willing to trust his father. I've got a 20-year-old and I've got a 17-year-old, and I cannot imagine telling my son, hey, let's go to the altar. And my son says, where's the sacrifice? You are. I mean, I could see my son saying, I think not, Dad. As he goes back down the mountain. Everybody still with me? Okay, I know that we look at the story like it just had to be that way. How many of you would have gone back down the mountain? Like, I'm not done with life yet. I mean, I know I misbehaved or I did wrong, but just send me to my room, you know. Send me to the other side of the tent. Stay with me here. We look at Isaac, who was a man who was willing to trust his father. We look at Joseph, who was a man with whom God was. Don't you want to be a man or lady with whom God was or whom God is? Wouldn't you like to be a college student and as you walk down the hall, somebody says your name and they say, I don't know much about them, but I know God is with them. Wouldn't that be a good statement? Wouldn't that be good on your bus route? Wouldn't that be good at work? I was at Meyer the other day, and I'm working with several people trying to get them the gospel. And one of the guys who stocks, just being kind to him, I just said, hey, I really appreciate you stocking. So when I come in here, stuff's where it's supposed to be. And he said, so every time I come in, no matter what time of the afternoon or evening I'm there, he stops everything to come shake my hand. Hey, how's it going, Jeremy? How are the kids? How's the grandbaby? You know, and all this and that. And I'm like, I don't want to tell you too much about my life, buddy. And I don't know who you are. But I've talked with him. I talked with Brother Robert Wilson, one of our missionaries. His cousin works there. And so she was telling me it was her birthday this week. I think today's her birthday. Good birthday, right, Brother Rob? But good day for a birthday. Come on now. Brother Rob said he'll take gifts. If you don't have them today, you can give them sometime within this year. Okay, so stay with me here. And then I left. As I was leaving, I talked with two of the gals, and I was telling them that my mom had been in heaven now 5 years, and they were giving me the condolences. And I said, more important than that, I said, if she were here today and she could step in, she'd want you to read this. And both of them said, we'll read it. We'll read it for your mom. We'll read it for her. Read it for me. Read it for Jesus. I don't care who you read it for. Just read it, okay? I left Meyer, and there's a lady that I'm working with there that I think she's probably in her 70s. She hasn't told me her age, but I'm guessing in her 70s. Okay, 29. And so I was talking with her, and she said, all this stuff about Israel, all this stuff about wars and all this going on, what do you think about it? I said, I think Jesus will come back soon. I said, I know I've given you several of these. Can I give you another one? Because he's coming back soon. It may be good to read. She said, yeah, I think I'm going to read it before I go to bed tonight. You know, it'd be a good idea that we go out and about. People know who we are. I think it would be good that God would be with us. Moses was a man who was there to free and to lead the Israelites. Joshua was a man who led in the battle of Jericho. David was a man after God's own heart. Job was a man that God would use through suffering. Daniel was a man who would not defile himself. That would be good for every college student to decide. From this day forward, I'm not going to defile myself. Stephen, a man who was Christ-like. Andrew, who was a man who wouldn't be on many of the pages of Scripture, but he was the one that led Peter to Christ. I think sometimes we all want to be Peter, but it's okay if you're an Andrew. Everybody still with me? If it wasn't for Andrew, Peter wouldn't have gotten saved, at least in that scenario. That's how Peter got saved. How would you like it now that Andrew's in Peter and Peter in heaven and Peter are telling your stories? Could you imagine Andrew saying, yep, He's the one I wanted to crush. You know, could you imagine all humility with humility and so forth? I know there's no pride in heaven. But then we see Philip was a man who would reach Nathanael. He would also later on reach the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul was a man who was a light to the Gentiles. And then we see several ladies God used. I just jotted down three or four here. Rhoda was a girl who believed in answered prayer. Could you imagine as Peter continued knocking after Rhoda said, "Oh, Peter's at the door." And you know what they were inside praying for? That Peter would get out. You know who was at the door? Their answer to prayer. And she came back and said, "Hey, Peter's there." And they said, "It's his ghost. It's his spirit." You know why? Because sometimes we pray, but we don't really expect God to answer a prayer, do we? And I look at the story here, and I see that Rhoda, she believed it, and she said, "It's Peter. Peter's the one here." Oh, that we would have college students and staff and faculty. Oh, that we would all realize that God hears and he answers prayer. I think about Hannah, who wanted a child so desperately, wanted a child so badly. She believed that God would answer her prayer, and God answered her prayer by way of Samuel. I think about Esther, who made the statement. She said, "If I perish, I perish." She was willing to do whatever God wanted, however God wanted it, whenever God wanted it. She was willing to serve her Savior. And so we see the examples of men God used in the Bible, examples of ladies. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what a phenomenal gal that God used in Mary. And no, I don't think you should pray to Mary, but I think Mary probably was the right type of gal. That's how God used Mary. I think about men who have helped me. I think about my dad. And my dad's gone through many things. He's got Parkinson's and diabetes, and he's had a brain stem stroke. He's had open heart surgery. He's got the beginning stage of dementia. But my dad and I talk regularly. I thank the Lord for his investment. I thank the Lord for my first pastor, Pastor Randy Cox, and I thank the Lord for Pastor Tim Rabin, who his wife was my kindergarten teacher, and she's still living. Praise the Lord. As a 4-year-old, you do a lot of dumb things. Everybody still with me? But I thank the Lord for him and for his wife. Think about Pastor Ron Morrow, who was my pastor for several years. He's the reason why I came to Howes Anderson College. I think about my youth pastor, Pastor Kevin Williams, his wife right now is struggling with her health. I think about Dr. Jack Hiles and Brother Darrell Moore and Pastor Wilkerson and Brother Roy Moffitt and Brother Eddie Lapina and Dr. Cowling and Dr. Phil Pins and Brother Mike Fish and Brother Matt Millen and Brother Rick Sparks and Brother John Francis and Brother Ray Young. I think about Brother Stubblefield, who, because of him, I got to graduate. Come on now. Although we all fight him all the way, he's trying to help us. Stay with us here this morning. Three simple points and several illustrations afterwards, observations in God using people. How many of you want to be used by God? Would you raise your hand? God sees your hand, and God will put you to the test. First observation I have this morning is God is no respecter of persons. As I've mentioned in several chapel services, God must love short people because he made a lot of us. Everybody still with me? I'm glad that God doesn't look at grades. Stay with me here. I'm glad that God doesn't look at grades and say, "All right, you're in and you're out." I'm glad God doesn't. There must have been some classes that the teachers really liked me. Some of them are here today. But some of the teachers must have really liked me because I had their class twice. They just needed my spirit, the joy that I had. I don't know. They just wanted me there. They needed a snipes. You know, as they went snipe hunting, they needed something. And so I was there. But I'm glad that God, stay with me here, I'm glad that God's not a respecter of persons. Now, I was shy, I was timid growing up, but at the age of 11, I was in a chapel service at a Christian school, and while I was there, God began to work on my heart. And I know sometimes people will say, "When were you called to preach, and when were you called to ministry?" At the age of 11, I surrendered my life to serve the Lord. I didn't surrender my life necessarily to preach. I didn't surrender my life at that point to be a missionary. I remember sitting there, and I remember the Holy Spirit begin to work on my heart, and I thought, "I can't do this." And it was almost like the Holy Spirit said, "That's right, you can't, but I can." And stay with me here. Sometimes you sit there in a classroom setting and say, "There's no way I can go to another area. There's no way I can play in a chapel service. There's no way I can play in a chapel service. There's no way I can sing up here. There's no way I can work with the media and the graphic design and web pages and the PA and the video and all that needs to be done. There's no way I could learn another language. There's no way I could eat different foods." But God can help you with whatever God wants you to do. God's no respecter of persons. At the age of 13, I was in the same chapel service. Or same chapel area, different service. I wasn't there for 2 whole years, so stay with me here. But at the age of 13, I was in a chapel service, and there was somebody talking about missions. And at that point, I didn't know a missionary was one that started churches and went soul winning. I thought you go to another country and you help them learn how to plant their crops, and how you learn how to help them have a better standard of living, and how you help them with social reform, and how you help them with other areas. But you know, when I surrender my life, if I can say it this way, I've never been necessarily called to preach, but I surrendered my life to serve the Lord, and I surrendered my life to be a missionary. I thought, well, if a missionary does preaching, then I better learn how to preach. Everybody still with me this morning? And sometimes we look at it saying, there's no way I can do this, and we're making it all about us instead of making it all about Him. Maybe we should go back to the song and praise Him a little bit more. Number one, the first observation is He's no respecter of persons. Wherever you're at today, God can use you. Number two, God will use anyone who wants to be used. God will use anyone who wants to be used. I hate sitting on the bench at a game if I'm supposed to be playing the game. How many of you are like that? I don't want to be a bench warmer. And by the way, I don't want to be a bench warmer in Christianity. There's a lot of bench warmers in Christianity. There's a lot of bus riders. We need some more bus workers, but that's another lesson, okay? But God will use anyone who wants to be used. When I played basketball, when I played football, and those are fairly obvious that I played those sports, but when I played basketball, when I played football, when I played soccer, I would sit there and I would kind of just lean forward. I didn't want to keep the warm-ups on. I wanted to be ready for the game. I wanted to jump out. And God wants people in the game. And so often we'll say, well, I'll play in the game when I'm 25. I'll play in the game when I'm 30. How do you know you're going to make it to 25? How do you know you're going to make it to 30? Number one, God's no respecter of persons. Number two, God will use anyone who wants to be used. Look with me, if you would, to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Thank you for your attention to detail. And as we look at these passages, would you look at them with me, please? Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16. Verse number 24 says this, Matthew 16. Verse 24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen very carefully. Someone asked the question, is what I'm living for worth dying for? I'll make another statement to that. What you're living for, you're dying for. You make the decision, I'm living for pleasure, I'm living for a good time, I'm living for this, I'm living for that. When you live for Jesus, you're giving your life to Him, you're giving it to Him. And again, this passage teaches, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. So number one, the first observation is God's no respecter of persons. Number two, God will use anyone who wants to be used. And I'm in that ballpark. You know, I don't have to compare myself with other former missions teachers. I remember hearing Dr. Maurice Paulson as he would come to class and he would teach. I remember Dr. Doug Kalab, who would come to class. Dr. Paulson passed away in 1997, and Brother Doug Kalab passed away in 2009. And I remember when I came back from the mission field, I never in my wildest dreams ever imagined that God would let me serve on such a wonderful team here at Howes Henderson College. But as I serve Him, I don't have to compare myself with them. I just have to be the best Jeremy Snipes I can be with the filling of God's Spirit. I'm not trying to compare with anybody else. I'm not trying to match up with anybody else. I'm just saying, Lord, would you use me how you want to use me? Number one, God is no respecter of persons, and I'm so thankful. It doesn't matter your background. Stay with me here. Maybe you came from a divorced home. Praise the Lord that you're here. Maybe you came from a marriage like I did, where my parents were married until my mom went home to be with Jesus after 47 years of marriage. Maybe you came and maybe you have a different background, and maybe you've got sins in your past. You say, God could never use me. If you're still breathing this morning, God wants to use you if you want to be used. And I love it about God, because you know when we know that our time is up? When God takes our breath away. When our heart starts beating, then I'm done. But if He's given me another day, I've got another day to serve Him. I want to serve Him with my life. Number three, I said, number one, God is no respecter of persons. Number two, God will use anyone who wants to be used. Man, as I would hear messages like this at the college, and as I would hear messages like this when I was growing up, I would sit on the edge of my seat and saying, God, I don't know if you want to use me, but I really want to be used. I prayed this way when I was in college. I don't recommend praying this way, but I said, Lord, If you're not going to use me, would you just take me home? I don't pray that way now as a husband, and I don't pray that way as a father, as a grandfather, but I so desperately, from the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night, Lord, I just say, God, would you please use me? You know, we don't need more bodies here on this earth that aren't being used by God. We need Christians who will give everything to God. So often we hold back. So often we've got our plans and our dreams, and as I told the classes, when I cannot imagine having traveled to 28 countries, been all over the world to see what God has done, and it's not because of me, but I love, as I preached before, I love just holding God's hand and following His lead. God will not lead you astray. God will not lead you wrong. God will never fail you. Number three this morning, the first observation, He's no respecter of persons. I'm so thankful. Number two, He'll use anyone who wants to be used. Number three, He wants more laborers. He wants more. He wants more. Look at Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew 9, please. Matthew 9 this morning. He wants laborers. And it, man, as I recently was in Alexandria, Egypt, this is the second time in Egypt this year, and as I was walking around the streets, and it was 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night, I was with Brother Boutros Faltos, who started over 70 churches now. If you wanted to go to Egypt to start a church, you could. And yet, there are few. And I remember as we were walking down the streets of Alexandria, Egypt, and earlier in the year, as I walked down the streets in Cairo, Egypt, after having seen the pyramids and after having seen the Great Sphinx and after having been around to some of the touristic spots, as I walked around, I wondered who's told that person and who's told that person and who's got enough gumption to learn Arabic, a very challenging language, to give them the gospel. And then I went, right before I went to there, I was in Turkey and in Istanbul, as we heard the call to prayer several times a day, time after time after time, as we would see Muslim after Muslim after Muslim and see mosque after mosque after mosque. You know what my question was? I wonder if they have a man. I wonder if they have a lady. In some cases they do, but in other places they don't. But we look at Matthew chapter 9 this morning. Look at verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God wants more laborers. My question for you is, are you going to be one of those laborers? Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If there were 10 men and they were holding onto a light pole and there were 9 of them on the light end, and there was one man on the other end, which one would you help? Would you go help the 9 on the light end or would you help one on the heavy end? And that's our world. Our world has 9 on this end. We're given the gospel. I'm for giving the gospel 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times. But who's willing to go to places where they don't have the gospel yet and they don't have a Bible yet and they don't have a tract yet and they've not heard the name of Jesus? They would like to praise Jesus. They've just not heard about him. Talked with a young lady at the airport. She was 22 years old, the same age as my daughter. My heart was broken. I was in the Istanbul airport. Last year, it was the number one airport in the world, number one international airport. It looked like a mall inside there. And I sat beside her, and as I began a conversation, I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Jordan. She said, I live in Saudi Arabia, and I'm heading to Cyprus to cut for college. I said, you dating anybody? She said, yeah, this is my third year. This is his third year, and I hope he asked me to marry him this year. And we were talking back and forth. And after we finished talking, I said, hey, you know what's going to happen after death? And her comment was, it depends on where Allah sends me. It depends on where Allah sends me. And I said, where do you think that might be? And she, with a very concerned look on her face, she said, I really don't know. And we have cue cards. We can't necessarily, you have to be very careful in places like Turkey and other places. We have cue cards that have a scan code that it goes into the Bible. And when you scan the cue card, it begins reading the Bible out loud to them. It goes to a website where they could trust Christ as Savior. And I gave her one of those and I said, you know, Jesus loves you enough that he has given his life for you. And I tried to give her the gospel and she said, I know, but it really depends on how and where Allah wants to send me. You know, this world needs more laborers. I was in La Sierra de Hidalgo. I was in the mountains of, I'm sorry, I started speaking the heavenly tongue. Sorry about that. Those guys just woke up. Let's stay with me here, okay? I was in the mountains there of Hidalgo, and I was just kind of the Uber driver. I was kind of the chauffeur of the group, and there was an American missionary, several other missionaries with us, and several Bible college students from Mexico City, and this has been many years ago when I worked with Brother Kevin Wynn. And I remember I said, man, I'm glad for this conference. I'm not necessarily speaking. Let's go find some kids we can talk with. Let's go find some teenagers we can talk with. To make a long story short, we came outside, and there was about 16 or 17 young people there. And I told the American missionary, I said, how about you give a story in English? I'll translate it into Spanish. And Then I found out that only one of them spoke Spanish. The other ones, other 16 or 15 of them, spoke a different dialect. So he said it in English. I said it in Spanish. He said it in the dialect. And when we got past David and Goliath and we got to the plan of salvation, the boy stopped translating. And he said, I'm not going to translate it until you tell me how I can trust Christ as Savior right now. And so when your translator says that and they're your voice, you tell him first. Everybody still with me? So he trusted Christ as Savior, and he looked at me and he said, okay, I'm ready. And so then he translated, and about 16 of them trusted Christ as Savior. Amazing experience. And by the way, it's like that. Not every country of the world is like that, but there are people that are hungry for the gospel just like that. But I remember going to the store, and I remember it was just kind of a bamboo shack right there, and they already had, we were 7, 8, 9 hours up into the mountains, and they already had Coke, they already had Sprite, they already had Fanta. And I wonder, why would American businessmen care about their product more than we care about the Word of God? These children had never heard the gospel before. They'd never been given a clear presentation of the gospel. I wonder if there's somebody on your bus route that they're saying, I have no man. You say, no, but I'm on that bus route. But what area have you not knocked on yet? What street have you not knocked on yet? What house have you not gone to yet? And maybe they've seen you, but they're across the street. They can't wait till you finish the other side of the street this weekend. You know what's program time this week? I think you ought to be praying. I think you ought to be working. But wouldn't it be great if every bus route had a young man, every bus route had a young lady that would love the Lord and would reach them, would go soul winning, would do all that they can for the cause of Christ? Maybe there's someone in your division that says, I have no man. Maybe there's a town in the United States that says, I have no man. Maybe there's a city in the U.S. that says, I have no man. I wonder what country's saying this morning, sir, I have no man. I have no man, and we can't imagine that. I got saved at the age of 4, 42 years now of trusting Christ as Savior. I just celebrated my 42nd anniversary, and what a joy it is to be saved. I said, what a joy it is to be saved. But man, I don't want to keep it to myself. That's why I carry tracts with me. You know who passes out tracts? Those who have them. You know who doesn't pass out tracts? Those who've passed them all out. Stay with me here. I wonder what countries. I just listed a few countries. What about Afghanistan, Algeria, Bangladesh, Burkina Faso, Burma, Cambodia, Cyprus, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Gambia, Greece, India, Iran, Iraq, Israel, Japan, Jordan, North Korea, Kuwait, Laos, Lebanon, Libya, Malta, Mauritania, Morocco, Nepal, Niger, Pakistan, Portugal, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Sudan, North Sudan, South Sudan, Syria, Taiwan, Thailand, Turkey, Turkmenistan, the United Arab Emirates, Vietnam. I wonder who in those countries are saying, I have no man. There was an African chief speaking to David Livingstone one day, and he said this: all of my forefathers have passed away into darkness without knowing anything of what was to befall them. How is it that your forefathers, knowing all these things, did not send word to my forefathers sooner? Thought of a story that I know I've given in chapel at some point. There was, my wife and I were in Chacaltenguis, Veracruz, and we were out doing, somebody had bought a Barney costume, and praise the Lord for I love you, you love me, and so forth. But had a Barney costume, and they were working with the kids and trying to get kids to come, and then they had a gospel presentation they were working with for the adults, and we worked very diligently that day. That night, we were going to spend the night with someone in Mexico City. Her mom lived in that area, and we walked inside, and as we walked inside, there was a lady by the name of Guadalupe, and Guadalupe said, as we walked inside, I noticed that she had a bag tied around her foot, and I began to ask her, what is it? And she said she had cancer now for 25 years, just kind of a slow cancer that was kind of eating her away and eating away at her foot, and she had kind of just a bag tied around for the draining, just a difficult situation. And she was 96 years old, and my wife said, can we share with you how you could know for sure you're going to heaven? And she said, sure. And so we gave her the gospel, and she trusted Christ as Savior. And she had the sweetest look on her face, and then she turned into a completely opposite look. And she looked at me, and she said, how old were you when you got saved? And I said, I was 4 years old. And she said, was that your first time hearing the gospel? I said, no, ma'am. She looked at my wife, and she said, and how old were you when you got saved? And my wife said, I was 12 years old. She said, was the first time had heard the gospel? And she said, no, ma'am. She said, it's not fair. She said, I'm 96 years old. She said, I would have got saved at 4. I would have got saved at 12, she said, but this is the first time anyone's ever told me. And then she asked me a question. She said, could it have been that somebody was asked to come sooner and didn't? Could it be that somebody was asked to come sooner and didn't? I didn't know what to tell her. I broke down right there. I said, ma'am, I don't know, and I'm so sorry. She passed away 2 years later, but I wonder if we can save that testimony for somebody else as we go into the message and continue with the message. I wonder if that could be you. Could you be the answer to someone's prayer? Everybody still with me this morning? Could you be the answer to someone's prayer? Several other stories here. Let me give you one other passage here. Ezekiel 22:30 says this, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. Acts 16:9 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over and help us. As I've walked the streets of Mexico City, as I've walked the streets of Lima, Peru, as I've walked the streets of Guatemala City and Prague and Dechen in the Czech Republic, and as I've walked the streets of Aruba and the streets of Curacao and the streets of Tanzania and Ghana and Zambia and Kenya and Nigeria and Zimbabwe and South Africa and Botswana, and as I've walked these streets and as I've gone to Warsaw, Poland, and I've been to Rome, and I've been to Milan, and I've been to Cairo and Alexandria, and I've been to Turkey, as I mentioned, and London, England, and Paris, France. As I look around, I wonder who's saying, I have no man. I have no man. Ezekiel 3, would you turn to one more passage, and I'm done. One more passage this morning, Ezekiel chapter 3. Look at verse number 17 and 18. Son of man, Ezekiel 3, verses 17 and 18. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But as your blood will I require thine hand. One thing I don't want when I go to heaven, look up here, please. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17, 18, you can look at it later, but one thing I don't want is I don't want bloody hands when I go to heaven. We sang this week, here he comes. I wonder if Jesus walked through the door, and I know it's going to be the sound of the trumpet, and that's when it's going to happen. I can almost hear faintly the sound of the trumpet. I think it's going to happen soon. Could it happen today? Yes. And some of you that are dating are like, no. But stay with me here. And some of you that aren't dating should also continue to be prepared today. But if he came through the door, I would want to be ready. I wouldn't want to have answers. And one day, stay with me here. One day we're going to have to face God for what we did for other people. One day we're going to have to face God for what we did. Imagine if we were at the great white throne judgment. Could you imagine them trying to tell God, I had no man. I had no man. Could I ask you a question? Would you be that man today? Would you be that woman today? Would you be that lady today? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Much of the world, I have no man. Much of the world, I don't have the gospel. Would there be anyone here today that you say, man, I really believe God's calling me to serve him on the foreign field. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone here this morning you believe that God's leading you today to make that decision? Would you just slip your hand up? Would you slip your hand up? I see one hand. I see a couple hands over here. I'd love to get your name so I can pray for you. Man, there's such a need. If you don't know what it is, maybe you should decide today, I'm willing to give my life for you. I'm willing to surrender it all. It will take all of you. It'll take all of you. But I don't ever want anyone anywhere around me to say, I had no man. I had no man. I want to be that man. You ladies ought to want to be that lady. You men ought to want to be that man. I believe we can reach this world in our generation. But we've got to be men and ladies that are willing to serve the Lord.